everyone, and happy Thursday to you all. I am Honey, and you're listening to Sweet Talk here on radio.dominican.edu. For those of you who are returning this week, welcome back. And to my new listeners, welcome to the Beehive. Throughout the show, feel free to tweet me at Sweet Talk W Honey, that's Sweet Talk W Honey, and I'll try my best to get back to all of you and answer them here on the air. Today we'll be focusing on vacationing, meeting the family, and getting caught in the act. Here with me today is a transfer student from Michigan. How are you, Peyton? Okay, so first off, we're going to be starting to talk about spring break. It's coming up next week. You know, most of us will be going home for, you know, vacationing and stuff. What do you guys usually do in Michigan?
Either Panama City or Daytona Beach in Florida.
Okay, cool. Out here, people usually go home or, you know, they spend time with friends. This year, I am actually going to my significant other's house in Texas, so that'll be fun. Are you in a relationship right now?
No, I am not.
Do you have anyone that you are talking to?
No, but I am interested in certain people.
Here on campus?
Yes.
Good to know. Okay, cool. So spring break is just around the corner. Most people tend to, you know, go a little bit crazy over spring break, and I have some health and safety tips for you guys. First of all, you have to limit your alcohol. I know drinking is a big thing, and most of us are, you know, above the age of 21, and some of us are not, but that never stops us. If drinking alcohol is part of your break, remember that it can impair your judgment and actions. Alcohol-related motor vehicle crashes kill someone every 31 minutes and non-fatally injure someone every 2 minutes. Don't drink and drive. There are plenty of non-alcoholic alternatives. Be active. You've probably been sitting most of the year working on the computer, studying, or in class. During the break, take the opportunity to start a fitness program. Do a variety of things, of fun activities like walking, dancing, playing volleyball, swimming, and more. It doesn't need to be hard to be beneficial. Avoid injury by starting any new activity slowly. Be active for at least 2.5 hours a week. Include activities that raise your breathing and heart rates and that strengthen your muscles. It is spring break. For those of you who are out here, you know, you can always go to the beaches. I know it gets kind of cold, you know, we're in the Bay. But you can always wear a wetsuit, go surfing, do something fun. We also have a fire trail if you guys are staying on campus. Go ahead, go on hikes. It's a beautiful day outside today. You should go do that today as well. You always want to plan a successful trip. If you're going on a trip, be prepared. Vaccinations are required. There are special food destinations or other things you need to consider ahead of time. If you're taking medications, do you have enough for the trip? Do you know what's happening en route of your travel destinations? You want to know all the questions, all the answers to your questions, excuse me. You also want to protect yourself. Love is all around, and so are sexual predators and transmitted diseases. The only 100% sure way to prevent sexual transmitted diseases, STDs, and unintended pregnancy is by not having sex. We are in 2015, we are in the 21st century, and we are all sexual beings, so that may not be the case. Be sure to use protection. If you choose to have sex, latex condoms and having a monogamous, uninfected partner may help lower your risk. Remember, women, we are more likely to be victims of sexual violence than men. Women who experience both sexual and physical abuse are significantly more likely to have sexually transmitted diseases. Take precautions and avoid situations or persons that may place you at risk for harm. You always want to watch your step. There may be temptations on your break that involve different or high-risk activity. Think twice before putting yourself at risk for injury. Be sure to use appropriate safety gear before venturing out, such as seatbelts, life vests, or knee pads. For all of you who are going on road trips, make sure to wear your seatbelts. What are you doing for spring break?
For spring break, I am going to L.A.
Oh, what are you going to do in L.A.?
The main reason I came to California was I've always wanted to be a model since I was little. Okay. And in L.A., there's Elite Modeling Agency and Forward Modeling Agency. And that is, like, the two huge agencies that Victoria's Secret models are gone through. And so I will be going there. And then also I'll be sightseeing because I've never been to L.A.
Have you done any modeling as, you know, In your lifetime?
Yes. I've modeled in 3 fashion shows in Michigan. Wow. And I've gone to, like, multiple casting calls and gotten callbacks and stuff.
Oh, that's great. Okay, cool. So, remember to protect your eyes if you wear contact lenses. Practice healthy wear and care tips, even when you're on vacation. Carry a spare pair of glasses and contact lens supplies with you so you can take out your contacts safely when you need to. Remove contacts before swimming, as exposing contact lenses to water can lead to painful, sometimes blinding eye infections. Always take your contacts out before bed, even if you're up late or traveling. Sleeping in contact lenses has been linked to serious eye infections. Always know the ropes. When swimming and boating, know what's expected and what you can do to prevent injury or death for yourself and others. Know how to swim, wear a life jacket while boating, avoid alcoholic beverages while boating, complete a boating education course, participate in vessel safety check program. Protect yourself from the sun. After a cold winter, it's tempting to stay in the hot sun all day. Although getting a little sun can have some benefits, excessive and unprotected sun exposure can result in premature aging, changes in skin texture, and skin cancer. Always wear sunscreen with at least SPF 15. For eye protection, wear wraparound sunglasses that provide 100% UV ray protection. Eat healthy. Us women have such pressure to stay thin and, you know, look good in our bikinis. You guys need to eat healthy. Having fun takes energy and fuel. Be sure to eat a variety of foods, including plenty of vegetables, fruits, and whole grain products. Also include low-fat dairy products, lean meats, poultry, fish, and legumes. Drink lots of water and go easy on the salt, sugar, and alcohol, and saturated fat. Good nutrition should be part of an overall healthy lifestyle, including regular physical activity, not smoking, and stress management. Like I said, no smoking. Avoid smoking and secondhand smoke. Just 20 minutes after smoking that last cigarette, your body begins a series of positive changes that continue for years. Quitting is one of the best things you can do for yourself and others. For other info or advice, please feel free to tweet me at SweetTalkWHoney. That's SweetTalkWHoney. So are there any fun experiences that you've had during your spring break with a significant other?
No, I have not experienced anything.
Okay, well, is there anything you would want to do if you were in a relationship? Is there, like, any trips you want to go on or anything like that?
Definitely. If I was to go, like, let's say Panama City with a significant other, I would want to do, like, long nights on the beach, like, walk or, like, just watch the sunset or sunrise would be amazing, especially with a significant other, or even, like, exploring the city at night and, like, going around and going to dinner and eating.
So for people in Michigan, I mean, I've never been to the state. I really don't. I know it's cold out there right now. And I believe your guys' spring break is like a week after ours. Is that correct?
It's actually the same week.
Oh, same week. Okay. Here. So that's probably why people go away, because it's so cold out. Yeah. That makes sense. But for people who, you know, stay home, what do they usually do?
When people stay home, I know that I'm from East Lansing, which is where Michigan State University is at. And a lot of people will go home and stay at MSU, because MSU's spring break is the week before ours. Uh-huh. So a lot of people will, like, stay at MSU and party at MSU. Or you can go in by the lakes. You can go through, like, all Lake Michigan, and it's all frozen over. So you can, like, see, like, frozen waves, and, like, people will go to, like, lighthouses and things like that. So, like, imagine, like, winter festivities.
Okay, yeah. Completely opposite from here. I mean, it's pretty cold in SF, but I mean, completely different from Michigan, I'm assuming. Yeah, that's so cool. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
How it starts, two lovers in the dark, on the run from the one that they call, share sparks, 6 guns by the side, and bullets round their waist, 2 shots to the sky, signal sign for the chase, the safe was nearly empty, and they were nearly free, but was seen by the good eye of the mean Billy Green, and he screamed at the top of his lungs, they're on the run, it's the 2 outsiders, grab your horses and your guns.
I said I wish that we could stay here, but I fear our time has come. We could ride out in the darkness,
chasing the rising sun. We gotta pack our bags this instant. We're heading southbound to the next town. And if we arrive there so safely, baby, you can lay me down. Lay me down. Lay me down. Lay me down. Well, it's the story of the two. Always on the move, they got nothing left to lose except their guns and their wounds. Now they're crossing border, sheriff's posse on their tail. They'd rather die together than be stuck up in a cell. They drank up all the whiskey and they partied every night, like it could be the last the bounty said to shoot on sight. So they chased the endless summer, knew it came with the price. They wouldn't stop running till they found a paradise. But the sheriff finally found them with the sightseeing red. So the lovers had to shoot them down and fill them full of lead. They were finally free to find a place to lay their head. And when they finally did, he looked at her and he said,
I said, I think that we can stay here, 'cause I feel our time has come. And we can walk down to the ocean and sit with the rising sun. So unpack your bags this instant, no more running from town to town. And now that we've arrived so safely, baby, you can lay me down.
And we got nothing left to do, so wipe the dirt off or take your shirt off. And we should go hit the cantina, we got work off. I said it's hot outside, let me go swimming in your eyes. We've been running for a while, want you late, don't make me smile. I could never ask for nothing better than this. It's just tequila and the beach, it's fine, salty when we kiss.
I said I think that we can stay here, 'cause I feel our time has come. And we can walk down to the ocean and sit with the rising sun. So unpack your bags this instant, no more running from town to town. And now that we've arrived so safely, baby, you can lay me down. Lay me down. Lay me down. No, lay me down. Lay me down.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Honey and you're listening to Sweet Talk, and I'm here with my friend Peyton. We just got done talking about spring break, but I wanted to remind you guys about something that I actually looked up a couple of weeks ago and I found it to be really helpful. We were talking about, you know, if you really don't have money to go out and do something, and if you know you're staying home, or if you're, you know, going to be at school. I found this website. If you Google fun cheap, I believe, and then your city, so SF or San Jose or wherever you're listening from, you can find free and cheap things to do. And some of them are really fun. I was looking at things like burlesque shows. The California Academy of Sciences sometimes has free entrance and stuff. So if you're interested in stuff like that, that'd be great for you guys. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Now, for those of you who are going away like myself, like I said earlier, I am going to be out in Texas with my significant other, and I'm going to be meeting her family. I've met her mom and I've met, you know, her siblings, but I have yet to meet like her extended family. Peyton, have you ever met any of your significant others? Or like past significant others, not saying that you have a lot, but have you ever met any of their, you know, families? Or if you haven't, how do you think it would pan out?
I would definitely say it would be like nervous meeting the family for the first time, because obviously you're dating the person for a reason, so you're seeing them, you're like want to pursue to be like a better, to go it somewhere in life, so you're gonna have to meet the parents. And I feel like that's going to be the most intimidating moment and probably defining moment of your relationship, because if your parents don't like you, if they don't like you, it'd be really bad.
Yeah, I would also have to say that, you know, meeting someone's family really does determine I guess, how far you guys will go, because it's such a big step for you and for your relationship. So I have some advice for you guys. If you've managed to impress your partner as well as their friends, but you also have to, you know, there's no sigh of relief there yet. You haven't met the family yet, have you? Well, unless your girl or boyfriend and their family are at odds, chances are you'll be shaking hands with the Mr. and Mrs. sooner or later. You might as well go in prepared. First step, you want to take notes. Would you go into a job interview for, I don't know, say IBM without knowing what IBM stood for? And no, I know what some of you guys are thinking. It doesn't stand for that. If you should have the same attitude regarding meeting their parents, it could be ruthless and you need to do some research. This means asking your partner what you should know about their parents and family, including what line of work they are or were in, whether they're serious or have a sense of humor, whether they prefer people who are outgoing or more reserved, etc. As well, ask your partner for the important details concerning her family situation, like if their parents are remarried, if either of their parents has another child, and whether their grandparents are still alive. If you have been with your girlfriend or boyfriend for a while and are making this transition to the serious stage, the chances are you already know the essential information. But it's always better to get the whole scoop and be aware of their entire family situation. I don't even need to illustrate the disaster that could occur if the father is a former Marines general and you tell him you don't care to defend your country in war, or if you refer to their bodacious stepmother as the father's daughter if his or her parents are divorced. Asking your parents questions, or I'm sorry, asking your partner questions about their family will also help you score points with them, as it will show him or her that you care to make the necessary effort with their family and that you're interested in their family life. It's good that you want to your partner's parents to tell them what a catch you are, but at the same time, you can't go overboard. Your aim is to get along with both parents and get over their good sides. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Her mother is always your ally. So Peyton, are you closer to your mother or to your father?
I would definitely say my father.
Okay, and why is that?
Growing up, I was like a huge, I wouldn't say tomboy, but I was really into all the sports. Uh-huh. So I'd always like watch sports with my dad, and I played all the same sports he played. So I was always like with my dad, mostly.
Got it. See, I love my dad. My dad was my coach for my whole life. I played softball. He was my coach for my whole life. But my mother is actually, she has my heart. I mean, so does my father. Don't get me wrong. But my mom's always the one that I can run to and, you know, tell my secrets to and everything. This really depends on who your girlfriend or boyfriend is closer to, you know, regarding the whole ally situation. It depends if they're closer to their mother or their father. But her mother is, you know, their mother is really the one who holds the power. She's the one who'll invite you over for dinner. She's the one who will defend you if you ever get on her father's bad side. And she's the one who will stick up for you if your girlfriend or boyfriend is crying over you or, you know, yelling about what a jerk you are. Fathers will always have a harder time accepting a boyfriend, I find. You're the man in her life now, and at least that's how he looks at it. And she'll go to you with her problems rather than go to him. I actually had a situation where my brother brought his girlfriend at the time home, and it didn't turn out to be a very good situation, to be completely honest. I was out here in college, and I'm from LA, so I didn't go out there when he had actually brought her. But it turns out that she was just a bust. She was very rude. I come from a very traditional Hispanic family. I mean, we are a little crazy, don't get me wrong, we're Hispanic for crying out loud, but she, whenever she got up in the morning, she would never say, you know, good morning. She always had just this like then again, I am, you know, stating what my parents are telling me, but she was just, she didn't talk much. She was just very, very interesting. My brother thankfully is no longer with her. But anyways, dads will always be an obstacle, but if it is tackled properly, you can get on his good side. Except for that girl, my dad will never want to see her again. Here's the clincher. You don't want to become best friends with the dad unless your girlfriend or boyfriend's really close to their father. Get on their dad's good side, but don't go on fishing trips with him. Don't have inside jokes with him about, you know, your boyfriend or girlfriend, and refrain from discussing legal papers all night if you're both lawyers. In her eyes, you don't want to seem like a guy who would be her best, her dad's best friend if you were the same age. You want to be considered the son he never had or that he does have. There are several occasions in which you can meet the family, such as picking her up from a date if she still lives at home, or a special occasion like a birthday or holiday dinner. The following guidelines that I'm about to give you guys applies to most of the situations. You're invited to a dinner and want to make a great impression. So the first thing to think about is what to bring. What would you bring if you were going to dinner at your, say, boyfriend's house?
I would probably bring, like, flowers or something for his mom as kind of like a welcoming gift.
Uh-huh.
Definitely. And then maybe if he had a sibling or something, like if like younger siblings, like a little sister or something, you could bring like a small little toy or like candy or like something like that would be like cute.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Chances are you'll be invited to their house for dinner. Even if it's not like Thanksgiving dinner, you shouldn't come to a family's house empty handed. That's always, you know, something that I grew up, you know, or that I was taught, like whenever you go over to like even an aunt's house or something, always come with, you know, food or something. But if it's definitely your significant other, someone you're dating at the time's house, I think the safest thing to bring is a floral arrangement, as well as a bottle of wine or a box of chocolates. But you make sure you know you ask your girlfriend or boyfriend, because if her father is a recovering alcoholic or her mother is on a strict diet, you want to be careful with that. The next thing to worry about is what to say. This is where your small talk skills come in hand. Use them. You're going to need them. Unless you have a tendency to feel comfortable with people immediately, it's normal to be at a loss for conversation topics with the parents of your newest love. You don't want to say the wrong thing or come across as a blabbermouth, but you also don't want to appear like a lump on a log, useless with absolutely nothing to say. So what would you talk about if you were at dinner?
I would probably, they obviously don't know who I am, so yeah. I would talk about, like, maybe, like, my family, like, how, where I was from, like, how I was brought up, making sure it doesn't offend anything. I would also, like, talk about, definitely at my age, they probably want to know I'm in college, like, what I want to be, like, when I grow up, so I would talk about, like, my major and things and how I'm, like, accomplishing my goals and things like that.
Okay, good. It's always good to ask a lot of questions and show interest in their family life. Refer to something your girl boyfriend told you. Look for any common ground you share with the father or mother, such as similar hobbies and interests, a love for the same sports team, a passion for dogs, and work from there. If it's the first time you're meeting them, they will likely have a list of questions for you, which, like you said, you know, they want to know about you if they don't know you already. But don't panic. They just want to get to know the man or woman their baby has fallen for. Answer the questions politely and try to relate them back to her parents or his parents. Here are some suggested topics that you guys could talk about. You could talk about your job, your family, sports, movies, either recent or old, but make sure, you know, they're some semi-G-rated. I mean, I know you guys are adults here, but don't go in talking about 50 Shades of Grey or, you know, anything kind of ridiculous on, you know, the first night. You can talk about pets, if they own any, or if you own any, a current, you know, newsworthy topic. And you kind of want to stay away from jokes until they know your sense of humor and you know theirs. You don't want to say anything that'll offend them or just make them think you're completely weird. Politics, you know, if you don't know their political stance, and some people, you know, that's a controversial topic to talk about, and you don't want to go out, you know, swinging on the first, you know, parental visit. Personal questions, that's hard. You have to know someone for a really long time, I believe, in order to ask some, you know, someone something very personal. Religion, also another very personal thing. And money or income, that's another thing that, you know, I don't like people really asking me unless I really know you. So some of those things, you know, some of those topics you want to stay away from. You want to get mom to love you and your and the dad to accept you, so make sure you stay like that. Make sure you, you know, follow these rules and you'll be set. So how do you get on, you know, the mom's good side? What do you think you would do?
I would definitely, to get on the mom's side, like, once dinner's over, I would help, like, clean up things.
Uh-huh.
Because definitely she's, like, the mom, so she's going to do all the cleaning.
Yeah.
I would even, before, like, if she needed help setting the table or, like, preparing the food, if there's, like, little last-minute things, I would try and help that, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, perfect. So you always want to flatter her looks or clothing. Of course, you shouldn't flirt with the mother. You know, guys, be careful. I'm not saying flirt with the mom. But every woman loves to hear that she doesn't look her age. Compliment her hair or her dress and always underestimate by 7 to 10 years if she asks you how old she thinks she is. But don't exaggerate. You don't want her thinking, you know, you're being sarcastic. Compliment her cooking. Even if you're a picky eater, make sure to eat as much as you can. At least make sure to finish your plate. Tell her how great her food is and compliment her profusely. You can even make a quip along the lines of, you know, you'll have to stop me from eating or cooking or I'll have to buy new pants. Help her with the dishes and with cleaning the table, just like you said, Peyton. Your partner's mother will probably force you to sit down, but always offer to help clear the dishes and ask if there's anything else you could do. Now, what about to get on the father's good side? What do you think you'll do?
I would probably talk about, like, sports or, like, because I played sports, so I would, like, find my common ground with him and, like, talk about that. I watch, like, professional sports, too, so, like, find a way to, like, ease your way through that.
Yeah, definitely. Talking about sports is, like, I believe every man loves sports. I don't know one personally who doesn't, whether it's, you know, cricket, badminton, or, you know, football, so... Sports is usually a bonding topic between men and women, depending on, you know, what it is. So ask who, you know, the big man is rooting for. Talk about the recent trades, games, and rumors. Talk about cars or whatever other interests he has. Ask him about his hobbies. If you're both car buffs, you'll have an in. So use it to your advantage and wow him with your expertise and knowledge. If he's had a stamp buff, at least show an interest in his passion. Ask about his job. Show that you want to get to know him by asking a lot of questions. He shouldn't mind, you know, answering questions about his job unless, you know, you're in, like, a movie like Meet the Fockers or, you know, Meet the Parents and the dad is, like, ex-CIA agent, which definitely only happens in Ben Stiller movies, but, I mean, hey, you'll get there. As long as you're animated, personable, polite, know what to say, and show respect for their baby, the family will love you. They surely want the best for their son or daughter, and if your partner has nothing but great things to say about you and you prove your worthiness with good manners and a genuine interest in the family, they will accept you with open arms. The next step is going to from parents to in-laws, and that's if you don't bail by then. Anyways, how would you go about, you know, if they had any siblings who are about our age? Like, how would you try to talk to them?
If they're our age... especially, I would assume they're either, like, about to graduate high school or they're in college. I would talk to them about, like, what are you looking, what colleges are you looking at, mm-hmm. or, like, how's college? Explain, like, you could easily talk about, like, roommate situations. I feel like everyone always has a good roommate story.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, hopefully these tips will help you guys to, you know, meet the family and not be so stressed out, give you little pointers on, you know, what you can say, what you can do. How do you feel about dressing?
I would definitely dress. You don't want to look like you're trying too hard, but you also don't want to look very provocative either. So you need to, I guess the best thing is, you know, your significant other really well. So, like, the way he acts and the way he dresses is probably going to be the exact same that his family is going to do. So, like, I would look at your boyfriend or girlfriend and see, like, okay, if he normally dresses like this, then his parents are going to dress like that. So dress according to, like, that.
Okay. Yeah. That's some good advice. I would say, depending on what it is, if it's a family dinner, just, you know, the four of you, I would definitely say a nice pair of jeans, you know, throw on your True Religions, it's fine, a nice pair of jeans, a nice blouse with, you know, a blazer and some heels or some flats. Don't go crazy on the makeup, you know, you're not going to the club, stay with, you know, the natural nice look, and just be presentable, and they should love you for who you are. If they don't, I mean, they're always, you know, the parents of your significant other, you don't have to be around them 24/7, but still. So yeah, that's all I have for this segment, you guys. We'll be back in just a second with more on vacationing, meeting the family here on Sweet Talk. But first, we're going to take a little break. I'm Honey, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed. put on my best suit, got in my car, raced like a jet, all the way to you. Knocked on your door with heart in my head to ask you a question, 'cause I know that you're an old-fashioned man. Yeah. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, 'cause I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Suffer love, my friend, but the answer is
welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Honey, and you are listening to Sweet Talk. I'm here with my friend Peyton, and we just got done talking about meeting the family. And before that, we were talking about spring break and some stuff we can do and venture out during, you know, the whole extravaganza of spring break. So now we're going to go into a segment about getting caught in the act, basically getting caught in the act of having sex. So I first want to ask you, Peyton, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you, are you a virgin?
I do not mind. And yes, I am a virgin.
Okay. And I guess, I mean, I smile because I'm kind of happy to hear that. I mean, we haven't really had, I'm not saying we haven't had a virgin on the show, but we haven't in the, we are in 2015 and, you know, sex sells nowadays, and I would say that women go around, and not saying that it's bad, but they have sex like it's, you know, like little bunnies. And can I ask you why not?
I've never felt like I've always, growing up, I was always taught that like sex was like a very intimate thing. So I've been wanting to like wait to give it to someone that like to lose my virginity to someone that like I could fully trust and that actually like loves me for who I am. And nowadays, like most people they'll meet the person and like sleep with them that same night.
Yeah.
Whereas like I feel like I'm old fashioned where I want to meet the guy and I actually want to build like a relationship, like a friendship, like get to know them like mentally before physically.
Yeah, I like that and I respect that and you should be proud, girl.
I am. I'm not ashamed at all.
Perfect. Okay. So, like I said earlier in my other segment, I am going away to Texas for spring break with my girlfriend. And people ask me, oh, well, you're going, you know, to her, you know, you're going to be with her family. Like, you guys aren't going to be able to, you know, have sex, whatever. And to be completely honest, I don't think I would ever have sex while away at, you know, some in the house, knowing that there's family members there. I just feel, I don't know if it's like my anxiety issues or what, but I would never have sexual intercourse or anything with, you know, the parents being there. So if you were in the situation, you know, people, your friends were asking you, oh, well, you're going away with your boyfriend and you're going to be at his parents' house. Like, you know, how are you guys going to do it? Like, what do you think you would tell them?
I would definitely, like, I feel like the number one rule would be, like, obviously you don't want to be doing it in, like, the parents' house. That's obviously where he grew up with. So I would go somewhere else. Like, he's got to have a friend's house or, like...
Yeah, like, if you really want it that bad, like, you'll find another place.
Go to a park, like, I don't know, like, not where anyone's around.
Yeah, I agree. I guess, first of all, it's the respect of the house, and it's the respect of,
definitely.
I don't want to, you know, there's plenty of things that can go wrong, you know, you can end up, you know, some people are very creative, you can end up breaking something, you might need a trip to the hospital. Or you can even, you know, get caught. And I think that's the worst part. Not only is getting caught in the act a little, you know, mortifying, it's very humiliating. Definitely. Because it's their parents and, you know, they think of you as, you know, this
innocent little girl.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure some parents are just like, you know, I know what you guys are doing, but it's something that I don't think I would ever...
It's like a known fact not to ever even like talk about that. So them seeing it would be even worse.
Yeah. And when it comes to dating and hooking up, most parents have rules. They're strict or religious. Plus, when you combine the stresses of dating plus the stresses of family, you could find yourself in a rough situation. Peggy Drexter, she's a research psychologist and author of 2 books about gender and family, says the fact that you're a sexual adult is normal and ultimately a necessary reality for your parents to face. But that doesn't mean it'll be easy. We already act like teenagers when we like someone, which I can personally vouch for, you know? But Andrea Sertach, author of He's Not Just Your Type, says our brains are pumping dopamine, oxytocin, and other powerful chemicals that may skew our judgment and make us extra sensitive. On top of that, there are a constant dimension of anxiety about living at home. That's a lot to juggle all at once. So what do you think you would do if you were ever caught in the act, you know, with your boyfriend? If you say, you know, you went on a limb and you're like, okay, one time, and you know, you don't think his parents are home, or you think they're sleeping or something, and all of a sudden, you know, boom, the door opens. How do you think you would react to that?
I feel like my first reaction would be like to hide, like hide under the covers or... And then, like, I feel like I would picture the parent, like, coming in and realizing what they saw, and they would automatically, like,
step out
and be like, oh, my God. So, and then I feel like the best thing to do would just, like, acknowledge that it didn't happen, because I feel like the parent would do the same thing. Yeah. They would just be like, I'm going to pretend I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, like I said, I have very bad anxiety, so maybe I would, like, freak out, but I would try to hide under the covers, too. I mean... Obviously, you know, they had, you know, either your boyfriend or your girlfriend that you're dating, so they know exactly what you two are doing. But yeah, I would hope that the parent would not try to make it any more humiliating.
Yeah.
For someone, I actually had a friend in high school, she's one of my really good friends, tell me a situation where she was with her boyfriend, they were at his grandmother's house, which I was just like, oh, okay. They were at his grandmother's house and, they were getting it on, and the mom had, you know, gotten home or whatever and walked in on them, And she immediately, like, got up and got dressed. And, like, she walked out of the room and, like, just, like, waited in the living room because the mom went inside the room to talk to the son.
Oh, my.
And, I mean, obviously, her mom didn't know that, you know, she was having sex. And his mom didn't know either until that day. And they both went to, like, this Christian high school. And it was not good for them. Fortunately for her, and I hope her mom isn't listening right now, but the mom of the guy promised him that she wouldn't tell her mom. So as a mother, you know, I mean, well, I'm not a mother, but if I were a mother, I don't know how I would feel about that. How would you feel if, you know, your daughter or your son was having sex and you didn't know about it? And they got caught by, you know, their boyfriend or girlfriend's mother, and the mom didn't tell you. How would you feel about something like that?
I don't know if I would be, like, mad. I don't necessarily say I would be mad. I would just be, like, hopefully I would hope that my daughter or son, if they are having sex with their significant other, that they would be at least using protection so they know, like, at least know the consequences of what could happen if anything bad does.
Yeah. I personally, I don't know how I would react to that. I say this now, but like I said, I'm not a mother, so maybe when that day comes, I will act completely different. But I hope to be very open with my kids. I hope Same. That they would, you know, come to me if they were ever in a position where they wanted to. I know when I started being sexually active, I didn't go to either one of my parents just because, I mean, it is kind of humiliating. You don't want to go to your mom and be like, hey, you know, I'm having sex, you know, like let's, and it's, I mean, nowadays I know I've spoken to some women who say that they used to, you know, in the doctors nowadays, you go in and they have your parents step out, or at least, you know, when you were with the pediatrician, they had your parents step out and then they ask you, oh, you know, are you doing weed? Are you like sexually active? Da, da, da. But, I hope that my kids will be able to come up to me and tell me that, as a mother, though, I feel like, if your daughter and my son were sexually active, I feel like I would want you to tell me if you saw anything, just because for protection's sake. I don't know. But anyways, like I said earlier, there's so many things that can happen, like getting caught. And I found a couple of stories online that I found to be pretty true and pretty, you know, interesting. So the first story I have is a girl named Monica S. She's a 25-year-old teacher from New Jersey, and she experienced the strain firsthand when living at home during the early years of a promising relationship. She is 25 years old, and she, you know, you would expect to have, you know, your own privacy or your own, basically your own apartment at that point in time. But I mean, things don't always work out the way you want them to. So she was in bed with her significant other, with her boyfriend at the time, and her mom and dad, they weren't home, and they got home, but she didn't hear them get home, obviously. She was, you know, in another world at that time.
In the moment.
Yes. And her dad came to say hi to her, and he found out that he had to say hi to someone else, too. And after that situation, she basically just saved up her money, and 6 months later she moved out because she just couldn't deal with it anymore. Tina V, a 26-year-old nurse from Washington, D.C., thought she could get away with rekindling an old high school flame after she moved back in with her parents. She writes, "One night we were in a basement, just like old times, only now we're adults and we don't just make out anymore. It was late and I assumed my parents would be asleep," she says. She was wrong. "Next thing I knew, my old-fashioned Italian Catholic dad comes downstairs and witnesses Ken and me in full-blown missionary-style action. He immediately ran upstairs to my mom, and he couldn't look at me for a long time after that." Getting busted by dad mortified Tina, of course, but it also confused her. Part of me was like, I'm a grown woman, and it's my right to enjoy sex with someone I think is appropriate. But another part of me felt dirty and ashamed. Drexler, the author I mentioned earlier, says this is the crux of the issue. Part of being an adult is deciding when, where, and with whom you have sex independent of what your parents may want for you. She says, as an adult, your sexuality should not be associated with getting in trouble with your parents. So, like I said, I would never have sex at my parents' house, or, you know, knowing that even if that worked, that they can come home at any given time. So I kind of have to pin that one on her, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You need to pick a place that's like where you know you're not going to have anyone come in.
Yeah.
And like interrupt.
Yes. So I would have to say something, even like getting caught by your parents is pretty bad, but like getting caught by your grandparents, I would have to say it would be even worse. Especially for Drew R, a 26-year-old musician from Woodstock, New York. He was beyond horrified when his grandfather, who lived with his parents, walked in on him getting a blowjob in the garage. There he was, terror on his face, frozen, Drew recalls. Then he said, I had to walk the dog. What did Drew do next? I behaved like an adult because I wanted to be treated like an adult and called a casual family meeting. I said something like, without getting too graphic, Graham saw me in the compromised position. I'm embarrassed and I just want to put it out there so we all know what happened. It ended in explosive laughter. Drexler says Drew did the right thing. Families that are more open and communicative with about how they're feeling and more likely to be able to laugh about these issues, she notes. Any such incident needs to be followed up with a discussion. If you ignore it, the awkwardness will fester. But be forewarned, once you've declared yourself a sexually liberated individual, don't be surprised if your mom is less interested in doing your laundry and your dad stops offering to take your car to the shop for an oil change as often. So yeah, he got caught by his grandfather. And I mean, I would say that it's more embarrassing for me to be caught by my grandparents, just because, like, if my parents think I'm like an angel, which I mean, I'm sure they don't, because, you know, they know, like, they've seen me in trouble. They are, you know, they're the ones who used to punish me whenever I like throw like the, you know, wet napkins on the ceiling in elementary school and stuff like that. So they know I'm not, you know, a perfect little angel. But my grandparents, on the other hand, I could do no wrong in their eyes. So to get caught by them in something like that, I feel would be just horrific. What do you think?
I feel like being caught by anyone would be just a horrifying experience.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's actually, yeah, you're pretty right. Yeah. Or you could just get creative to avoid being caught. I mean, Vicky T, a 24-year-old event planner in Chicago, believes she found a good tactic. She says, I have a squeaky twin-sized bed, which happens to share a wall with my parents' bedroom. So instead of having sex, my boyfriend and I invented a move called the swipe. Basically, he swipes his downstairs against her, back and forth. There's no, you know, penetration, but it's better than nothing, she says. Conversely, Maura O, a 28-year-old web designer who visits her parents in Michigan once a month, has never gotten farther than first base in her old room, but it's not for a lack of trying. She says, my room still has a light fixture that's the face of a clown with a giant red nose, she says. Twice I have old flames stay over, but the clown's nose was inescapable. We couldn't talk about anything else all night. I think hooking up is officially impossible in there. The solution? Now when I visit my parents, I do hookups elsewhere, reverting to teenage lying tactics about staying at girlfriends' homes. I'm positive that the thought of my telling a lie is far less traumatic than the thought of my having sex. Whether you're abstaining, swiping, or having sex, it's vital to separate psychologically from your parents at this age. Otherwise, Drexler says, you may start subconsciously seeking out relationships in which you play the dependent role. You will still see yourself as a child, so you may need constant reassurance of his feelings or find yourself acting clingy, which can make a relationship difficult to sustain. Anyways, what do you think about, you know, if you were to do something and say your brother walked in on you, do you feel the, like, I guess the comfortability to talk to your family or like to him about it?
I would feel like it would, if I were going to talk about it with anyone, in my family, it would probably be like my brother, my sibling before it would be my parents, because obviously they're like around the same age as me, so they would be doing the exact same thing I was experiencing, the same things I was.
Yeah, and I see, I can totally I guess relate or understand that. My brother and I are only a year apart and we're pretty close to each other, so I mean that's nice. But you know, she said earlier that, or Drexler, you know, says, or her advice is anyway, that you want to be open with your family and talk to them. Is that something that you feel comfortable doing? Like, you know, if you were in that situation, could you, like, that guy just get up and be like, okay, so this is what happened, like, just so everyone knows?
I feel like once, maybe, like, once I broke the ice and, like, talked about it once, then it would be easy to talk about it multiple times.
Got it. So Drexler says, tell your parents where you're going, who you're going with, and what time you'll be back. Ask them if the scenario works for them, and if it doesn't, hear them out and come up with a compromise. It's new territory to them, too. The important thing is to remember that if you live under your parents' roof, you have to balance your needs with theirs. And if none of their mutual respect and healthy communication stuff seems doable, maybe just save everybody the discomfort of and buy a clown face. All right, everybody, that's all I have for you right now. We'll get back in just a minute, and we're going to be talking about something else, so stay tuned. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
I know I can't take one more step towards you. Cause all that's waiting is regret. Don't you know I'm not your ghost anymore? You lost the love I love the most. I learned to live half alive, and now you want me one more time. And who do you think you are? Scars, collecting a jar of hearts and tearing love apart. You're gonna catch a cold from the ice inside your soul. So don't come back for me. Who do you think you are? I hear you're asking all around. So don't come back for me. Who do you think you are? And it took so long just to feel alright. Remember how to put back the light in my eyes. I wish I had missed the first time that we kissed. 'Cause you broke all your pride.
everyone, and welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Honey, and I'm here with Peyton. Hello, Peyton.
Hey.
I want to thank you for having, you know, for coming in with me and having you on the show. You've given us some great feedback. I hope you enjoyed yourself. What did you think about the show?
I really liked it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course.
Welcome.
Did you learn anything from today's show?
Yes, I definitely learned a few things
like?
As well.
Like?
Definitely learned some tips for, like, meeting the significant other's families, and then definitely like where not to have sex with your partner, especially in parents' houses.
Yes, definitely. I want to thank my listeners for listening in. Just, you know, a quick recap of the show. We talked about spring break and, you know, fun things you can do. I'm going to state the website again. You can just Google Fun Cheap and your city, wherever you're located, and it'll bring up some fun things for you guys to do over spring break. You know, some cheap things, some free things, which I mean is even better. Free 99, as I like to say. Also, we are, you know, we talked about meeting the family. Make sure that you guys, you know, took those tips down and, you know, put them to work. And we also talked about getting caught in the act. Remember, personally, like I said, I would never have sex in someone else's house. And I hope that you guys wouldn't either. And if you do, be safe and be quiet. Thank you for listening so much. This is radio.dominican.edu. Unfortunately, we won't be having any shows next week because of spring break. But I will be back the following week, Thursday from 2 to 3. Like I said, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Bye-bye. She's a big teaser. She took me half the way there. She's a big teaser. She took